You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Cesar Aira has been writing books since 1975, and with more than 80 titles to his credit, he has created a mini-industry in Buenos Aires as new presses have had to be established to put out all of his work. His writing is lyrical and unpredictable, with a mix of metaphysics, realism, and absurdist incongruities. In his latest collection, The Musical Brain and Other Stories, the range of his storytelling is vast and engaging. It is published by New Directions, and just this morning it was announced as a finalist for the Man Booker Prize. I'm very pleased it has brought Cesar Aira to our show today, and congratulations.
Why, thank you. I'm very happy for my publishers.
You think it's only your publishers who are going to be happy here? Aren't you a little happy?
I always feel a little guilty with my publishers because I give them these crazy things I write, and they have to put money to make the book, and well, I feel guilty and a little success.
How many publishers does it take to keep up with your work?
Well, I have, I don't know. Now I have, in Spanish, three, just.
Aren't most of your books under 100 pages? We're talking about essays, short stories, and novellas, but... Have you ever been tempted to write something that's a lot longer?
No. No, because I love slim volumes. Yes, for example, this Musical Brain contains something like 20 tales, 20 stories, and they were, in Argentina, 20 books, 20 little books.
In this publication, it actually runs about 350 pages. But they're small pages.
Yes.
But so these are stories that were published in a number of different books, and some of them actually our listeners will remember from reading in The New Yorker. The title story was published in The New Yorker, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. The Musical Brain and some other.
So that means you had to wait until you were translated before you could be published in English.
Yes, I have a very good translator, an Australian translator, Chris Andrews. I have been very lucky with the translation.
Well, since language is so important to the way you tell your stories, what do you feel about translation? It's often said that translation never really gives us a true sense of what the original is like.
Well, I never read the translations of my books.
You speak English, but you don't read the translation?
No. I put my trust in the translator and the publishers. And yes, I have other things to do.
But as I said, you are also a translator. Do you think it's harder to get translated work published in English these days?
My words? You mean?
Well, for example, I was thinking about the late Chilean novelist and poet Roberto Bolaño, who wrote that you were one of the three or four best writers working in Spanish today. But he really wasn't discovered in this country until he died. And finally, the translation started coming out.
Yes. Well, it's there is a little chance after in this. For example, I was translated to French many years ago. I have something like 30 books translated in French. And I don't know why in English I have some books translated in England, but not here.
Until 2006?
Yes.
That's fairly recent. How long had you been publishing at that point?
In English?
No, how long had you been publishing before you were finally... was published here in 2006?
30 years, 30.
So 30 long, going back to 1975 or so?
Yes.
Any idea of why England but not the United States?
I don't know.
We have a larger Spanish-speaking population.
Yes. I don't know exactly why. And that's the reason why I had never came here. because I never travel for my will. I only travel when there is an invitation of a publisher or for a conference. And so I had never come to the great nation of the North. Now I am published, now I come.
One of your mentors, the Argentine poet Osvaldo Lamborghini, was famous for his dictum, "Publish first, write later." I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it's been said that that was an inspiration for you.
Yes, that's phrase, that saying of him, everyone interprets his way. Many people have said to me, that many writers have said that, yes, it's true. I had to publish for beginning to real reading.
Is that how you interpret it?
Well, I don't know. I feel for us writers, if something sounds well, it is well. And the sense doesn't matter.
Many of your admirers, including Patti Smith, who reviewed The Musical Brain in the New York Times this past weekend, have likened your writing to painters like Picasso and Salvador Dali.
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yes, I have an imagination predominantly visual. And yes, I love painting, of course, and some painters.
Well, both of them were Spanish painters. You have a story here called Picasso.
Yes, Picasso. Yes, it's a little story that I wrote in the Musée Picasso of Paris, in the café of the Musée Picasso. I thought if a genius appears here...
Who's a genie, not a genius?
A genie. A genie, yes. And offered me, I can give you something. Being Picasso or having a Picasso? And it's a dilemma. It's difficult to decide. But, yes, at last I decided to have a Picasso.
And not be Picasso.
Not be Picasso, because Picasso has a psychology a little crooked, I think.
Well, he has been accused of being abusive to women.
Yes, yes. And abusing too many people. I don't know. But, yes, I would like to have a Picasso.
Well, he did so many works, by the way. It's not impossible. Once you win the Man Booker, you'll probably be able to afford Picasso.
Yes.
Now, Picasso was really prolific.
Yes.
And so are you. He just kept on working until he, into his 90s.
Yes.
How many books do you generally publish a year? Three or four?
Yeah, three or four little books, but if you count the pages, it's not more than 100 or 200 pages. So my complete works could enter in a novel of Joyce Carol Oates or someone of these, or Stephen King. Yes.
You still haven't caught up with Joyce Carol Oates. Patti Smith concluded her review of your book by saying, "Hail Caesar. I can only marvel at the amount of yarn he spins in order to tell tales of his own, from the political fable to the elaborately spun joke enriched with philosophy."
Well, she's very generous.
How do these stories begin? Do they begin with an actual event and then the imagination takes over?
Yes. No actual events, actual ideas. Something I listen, I see in the television, I read, an idea come, and then I begin. I never planned the whole story.
The title story of the book, The Musical Brain, was one of the ones that was published in The New Yorker, and it begins in your hometown, Coronel Pringles, at a hotel dinner.
Yes.
And although it goes off into directions that... would you call it magic realism?
Magic?
Realism, which is
associated
with South American art
writing. No, I do not like realism in any of its forms.
Even magical?
No. The worst.
The town that you grew up in was Coronel Pringles.
Yes.
Now, Pringles is spelled the same as an American potato chip product, but it's not related in any way.
No.
But do you think that you would have had the same kind of career if you'd stayed in your hometown and not gone to Buenos Aires?
No. Argentina is a country very centralized. Everything happens in Buenos Aires, and in the rest of the country there is no activity, cultural activity. So, yes, you have to go. And I went to Buenos Aires when I was 18. It was the typical story of the young provincial who goes to the big city to conquer the world, and I did not conquer it, the world, but I conquered a little place in literature.
Well, you've lived through some incredible changes in Argentina through Perón, the military dictatorships, and then democracies, and now there's more political turmoil and an unsolved mystery.
Yes.
Does this all inspire you as a writer?
No. I live by the imagination exclusively. Yes, I see all this as a... In fact, now political events are media events. So they pass. For example, this crime of the prosecutor is a media event. It's in the television, and when the public, when the audience tires of it, it disappears, because as any show, no?
Well, the show usually ends with the murder being solved.
I think that this is not going to be the case.
You do like the popular culture. One of the stories, called A Brick Wall, is about time spent at the movies.
Yes.
Not always the greatest movies, not art films. We're talking about Village at the Dam, Fu Manchu, Zorro, and one of my favorites, North by Northwest.
North by Northwest, yes.
Now, in your story, North by Northwest is renamed for Spanish audiences International Intrigue. Was that the name
that was
shown in
that
Argentina?
That is the name. Even now it's known as Intriga Internacional. And we founded a club with a friend, the ISI, Intriga Secreta Internacional, International Secret Intrigue. We play with this. We always, well, cinema in Coronel Pringles was the great attraction. There was nothing more. There was no television. So every Sunday we went to the cinema, and all the week after we played the movies we have seen.
Didn't Hitchcock set scenes in Argentina? Hitchcock made a scene in that film, or I think it was that. No, in Notorious, which takes place in Argentina.
No, I think it is in Brazil, in Rio.
Maybe.
In Notorious.
It's been a while.
Yes, with Cary Grant and Ingrid Bergman. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's in Rio.
Brick Wall seems to at least in part be about memory and how elusive and malleable it is. The title story deals with innocence. You mentioned earlier that when you came to Buenos Aires, you were young and innocent. And a lot of these stories have innocence as a theme.
Well, yes, I haven't think of it. But yes, one of my great inspiration for the narrative is the Little Lulu comic. And... Yes, that's a tale of innocence, of sly innocence, not so innocent.
César Aira, one of his novels, La Prueba, was made into a feature film, and How I Became a Nun was chosen as one of Argentina's 10 best books. His most recent is The Musical Brain and Other Stories. It is published in this country by New Directions, and it was nominated just this month, just this morning,
yes,
as a finalist for the Man Booker Prize. Yes. When do you find out whether you've won it or not? When do they make the announcement?
I knew it today, and I see that everyone knows already.
But when will you find out if you've actually won the prize?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
You'll have to go to England.
I don't know. But I... Yes, it would be very nice for my publishers that I win, but I'm not so sure.
Well, I'm hoping you win. And thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you.